Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome to the Riot Podcast. This is Bob Schoeneman alongside Pete Mac Daddy Robertson.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing today, Pete?
Wonderful. Happy to be here. How about you?
It's allergy season, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
My sinuses are just on fire.
It's like you go outside and the pollen
it's so bad.
It makes our cars yellow.
I was driving through South Carolina on Friday, and I looked ahead of me, and it looked like it was starting to rain. And I got up there. It was all pollen. Mm. It was like raining pollen.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, you were up in Spartanburg because you were at a PBA 50.
Yeah.
Because you're a professional bowler.
That's right. I bowled the first tournament of the year. Yeah.
And how do you know that he's a professional bowler is when he walk away from a bowling tournament with money. And Bob walked away as a winner. And he's a professional. So he's paid to bowl. That's how you know he's a professional.
I got paid to bowl. There you go. There's the definition.
Yeah. And it's the best of the best.
It's fun.
Coming together.
It's an honor to just be able to bowl with these guys. So I have a lot of fun. And meet lots of nice people, lots of great people. So anyway, that's not what we wanted to talk about today.
Well, we're changing the page. So we're finally off of AI. So we've done the last, 4 weeks on AI?
4 weeks of AI, yeah.
We've gotten really great response from that. Thank you, listeners, for downloading and listening to the AI.
How do you know it's really the listeners responding and not AI responding?
Or like the bots?
It could be the bots responding because they like us talking about them.
Yeah, no kidding.
How do we know?
Because they share how many minutes they listen to.
Oh, okay.
So they, if they're bots, they usually are like really short. But if it's an actual listener, they're listening.
What's bot mean? Short for robot?
Oh, that's a good word. I don't know. Some sort of tech.
I hear people say bot all the time. I guess it's just...
There's a tech word for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, we're going to change pace. So we're getting back to our roots of Genesis.
I've enjoyed our journey through Genesis.
Oh, I love it.
And we're like a third of the way.
Oh, I love it.
A long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, we still got Isaac and Joseph and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. A lot of nuggets in Genesis. Like besides
the coat of many colors and all that good stuff.
We're going to have a lot
of... Speaking of books, tell me a little bit more about your new book that you just released, last month?
Yeah.
Keys to Being Set Free, is that correct?
Yep. So many of you have known that we've launched a new book, Keys to Being Set Free, and it's out in the bookstore, so you can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I think Target's actually selling it as well. But then you can also go to naturaldiscipleship.com, and you can order it there. So if you order it there, it's a little bit cheaper than if you go into Amazon. So it's a donation basic. And then we'll ship it. The only difference with going to naturaldiscipleship.com versus Amazon is Amazon comes a little bit quicker, where Natural Discipleship will be maybe about 7 days versus
if they enter the discount code do they get a discount?
Yeah. I mean, they can. I mean,
I'm just making that up. I have no idea.
The keys of being set free is it's meant for everybody, but the bottom line is this. If you ask this question, it says, are you in a position where you're wanting to grow deeper with the Lord? If that is you, then Keys to Being Set Free is for you. It's overcoming hangups, shortcomings, addictions, or anything that you might have in your life that you realize you don't even know they're there.
Now, is this a book that I would just read through, or is this a book I should go through with somebody else? Or what's the best way to do this?
Well, that's the key, both. So I always tell people to first go through it themselves, and answer honestly and humbly and really just come before the Lord broken with a contrite spirit and be honest with yourself, because what you're going to uncover is you're going to start learning there's certain maybe self-protections that you have in your life. You're going to see that there's certain unforgivenesses. Maybe there's hangups that are there. We all have them, right? We all have them. I know that I'm still working out many myself. I haven't arrived. But we all have them. And what God will do is he'll reveal to you what those are as you surrender that to him and you work through that. You work out your salvation. You work through that. You can then, your eyes will be open to seeing God in a more clear light. Because right now, when those hangups are living, they live with you. Some Christians have been the same for 20 years. There's been no growth spiritually at all. And you look at their life, you examine their life, and they're really, you don't see God moving that much. It's because they have these hangups that are there and they haven't been able to surrender them and they're not growing closer to the Lord because it's blocking that ability.
I've heard you say the term plateaued.
Yeah, plateau.
And some of that can be because of those hangups.
Yeah. And it is mostly is because of that. And we all have them. And if we don't work them out, then we can't. So anyway, this is for the person. I mean, and we all have some sort of addictions. I have an addictive behavior. So if I'm not careful, perfect example, every one of us can say that, hey, my body's aching or in pain, right? We all got some aches or pain, especially if you're older. And so it can be my behavior could be easily wanting to just constantly pop pain pills, right? Because I don't like to have pain. But I have to work out that and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I refuse to have it. I sometimes just live in pain. Only time I give myself a level. If I'm at this pain, I can't even walk or I can't move or do something, then obviously I'm going to take those pain pills to help in that moment. There's inflammation or something. But we all have the tendencies to that. We all have some eating, or maybe there's self-protection that causes you to eat, or maybe you go to porn, or maybe you go to whatever that is. We all have something that this book will help work that out to get you freedom in that. And then after you're done going through it, it's very clear how the book it is. It's set up so that you can take somebody else through it. How I grow is when I'm taking, because I've been through this with many people, is you're going through this and you're both humble and you're both broken and God's speaking through both of you. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's the greatest thing ever. And it's not only are you growing in a deep way with this person in a relationship, because you're learning things about them in a vulnerable way and they're learning things about you in a vulnerable way, but there's just something about how God just moves there where there's true freedom happening. And I'm telling you, your bond is growing as the person you're going through it. And by the end of the keys of being free, I mean, you will find yourself breathing a little bit differently because God has worked in you. And for me, I've gone through it like 5, 6, 8, 9 times, you know, after, and all of a sudden God's revealing new things to me. Like he revealed to me a new self-protection just this last time that I went through it. And I was like, wow, I never realized that I was doing that. And because God is so good, he sometimes is patient with us and he doesn't reveal everything at once, you know?
Amen. Well, I'm excited. I just got my, I got my official signed copy and I need to jump in and make some time to get through this book. And then I'm looking forward to doing exactly what you just said, taking somebody else through.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, there's where the growth comes, right?
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome.
All right, let's go.
All right. So what we, like you said, we're out of AI. We got an interesting topic today. And we were talking in the show prep that I have never heard a pastor preach on what we're going to talk about today. And you're like, well, we'll do it today. So I thought that was kind of funny. So the title of today's show is Unveiling the Melchizedek
Mystery.
See, I already messed it up.
Yeah.
The Melchizedek Mystery.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going
to
talk about.
Well, today. Because in order for us to really get back into Genesis 18, because that's where we're going to pick up next week, is I wanted to cover this because we covered this in Genesis 14. So if anybody listened, go back to our past shows. In Genesis 7 or 14, when Abraham just won the great victory, he comes back and then he gives this tithe unto Melchizedek. And we're like, who is this Melchizedek? Well, we didn't really spend a lot of time there.
We don't want to just brush over it.
No. So we're coming back now. We're gonna really spend time and just breaking down who he is. And it's a major deal. So Melchizedek is a big time story. And I don't think people realize how big of a story this is. And so we're going to kind of bring light to that. So, all right,
awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for this opportunity to do this podcast. I thank you for our listeners. Lord, as we dive into or back into the book of Genesis, I pray that you would open our eyes to see things that we haven't seen before, but all of it to just bring us closer to you, Lord, to just grow our relationship with you as we learn more about who you are. So, Lord, I ask that you just take this show and use it in only ways that you can. And bless our listeners today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So in our past show, we briefly touched on the mysterious figure of Melchizedek when we explored Genesis 14. His sudden appearance within the scriptural narrative sparked intrigue, but time constraints didn't allow us to unpack exactly who he was. So in today's show, we're dedicating our focus to this mysterious character, looking deeper into the biblical puzzle he presents.
Well, I mean, we keep saying mysterious is because, I mean, there's only 3 parts of the Bible that talk about him, but we're going to give context to those 3 parts. And so the reason why we're saying mysterious is because we really don't have like background or too much like Abraham. We know all about, you know, kind of him. Melchizedek is a little bit different. So that's why we keep saying that. All right.
All right. So let's journey back and unravel the layers surrounding Melchizedek. piecing together the clues that define his pivotal role in our faith. You see, Melchizedek, whose name means King of Righteousness, was also the King of Salem or Jerusalem and the priest of the Most High God. See Genesis 14, 18 through 20, Psalm 110, verse 4, and again in Hebrews, chapters 5, 6, and 7, numerous verses there. I won't name them all. Melchizedek's sudden appearance and disappearance in the book of Genesis is somewhat mysterious. Melchizedek and Abraham first met after Abraham's defeat of, here we go, Chedorlaomer.
Yeah.
My executive producer is laughing at me right now because I just fumbled through that, as she predicted.
Yeah.
And his three allies. Melchizedek presented bread and wine to Abraham and his merry men, demonstrating friendship. His merry men. That reminds me of the, what is it?
Weary men. What is it? Not merry.
Yeah, man. No, I was thinking of, who's that? Robin Hood. Robin.
Yeah.
I just got that picture, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. He bestowed a blessing on Abraham in the name of El Elyon, God Most High, and praised God for giving Abraham a victory in battle. See Genesis 14 again.
Yeah, we talked about that, where El Elyon is the God, is God, and then Most High. So whenever you see El, it's singular. It's talking about Yah. If you see Elohim, it's plural, meaning there's more than one. So in the Bible, we see a lot of times when it says God, it says Elohim. They're saying that there's more than one God. Anyway, I kind of go over that in my new book that's coming out. What is it called? Shadows to Clarity. So anyway, all right. So back to Melchizedek. Let's not get into a sidetrack.
Maybe just threw. Yeah. Scroll.
I could do that very easily. We're going to actually read Psalms 110, and we're going to read a little bit of Hebrews 7 to give this context. And so we won't do it right now, but we'll get into that. But Melchizedek, again, we have to understand. So when it said that he's the king of Salem, many people don't know, well, where was Salem during that time? It was Jerusalem, and Salem means peace, right? And so he was the king of peace. And then also says he's the king of righteousness. Well, who do we know? Let's just set this up right now. Who do we know that's peace and righteousness? There's only one person in the Bible that reflects that. And so that is Jesus. And then we're also, we see in Psalms 110 and we see in Hebrews 7 is that it's telling us that Melchizedek is in the line of Jesus. And we're going to talk about it, but I believe, especially when we get into 110, this is Jesus. I mean, this is basically Jesus. And then when we talk about Genesis 18 next week, we'll go back to this show and kind of give a more context of what's going on in Genesis 18 and who Abraham's actually talking to there. Good. So, all right,
let's break it down.
All right.
So after the battle, Abraham presented Melchizedek with a tithe or a tenth of all the items that he had gathered. By this act, Abraham indicated that he recognized Melchizedek as a priest who ranked higher spiritually than he did. Who do you think he was? And it's kind of what you just said.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, Psalms 110 is a messianic Psalms, and I'm going to read that here. Real quick, and it was written by David, and it's referenced in Matthew 22:43. But Melchizedek is presented as a type of Christ. This theme is repeated in the book of Hebrews, where both Melchizedek and Christ are considered kings of righteousness and peace. By citing Melchizedek and his unique priesthood as a type, the writer shows that Christ's new priesthood is superior to the old Levitical order and the priesthood of Aaron. So again, when God set up the priesthood, he says the Levites are going to be that, right? Well, we know that Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. And Melchizedek doesn't come from the tribe of Levi, but Abraham immediately recognized that this is the priest of the Most High. There's something unique about him. We have no idea where he comes from, but Abraham knows. There's many stories out there, and I can relate because I have some stories where you're presented by something of power, of force, of an angel or of Jesus or God or whatever, you immediately know you're in the presence of something. And I was just thinking of Isaiah 6. When he got present, he knew right away. Nobody has to tell you anything. Mm. So when Abraham came face to face with Melchizedek, immediately he's like, okay, this is not, I'm not worthy here, right? He just knew. But some people propose that Melchizedek was actually a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, or a Christophany. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I believe that. Okay, I believe that firmly. And I'm going to, over the next couple of shows, we're going to talk about that even more. Another possible theory is, especially given that Abraham received such a visit later in Genesis 17 and 18, which we're going to talk about next week, when Abraham saw and spoke to the Lord or Yahweh. But let me just read Psalms 110. And so this is a prophecy. Okay. So this is David writing this, and Psalms 110, and he's basically, it's a prophecy concerning the Melchizedek priesthood of the Lord Jesus, which explains the true meaning of the nativity. So let me read it to you. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until make your enemies your footstool. The Lord Yahweh sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely, peoples who, Israel, on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord, Yahweh, has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, who's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? Well, he's talking about who? Jesus. You will sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I will send you to Zion. What was Zion? Well, that's Jerusalem. I will make you a mighty scepter. You're going to rule in the midst of your enemies. Well, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees were his enemies, right? And all the people, what did? They stoned him. They killed him, right? So the Lord has sworn that will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So why is David saying this? Okay, put this in context. Then the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth, and he will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he lifted up his head. So again, we, and in my book, Shadows of Clarity, I kind of go into this in detail. But again, what's happening? So he's saying, well, how did he break the king's head? Where? Who was the god of the world before Jesus? Satan. He controlled the king. He controlled everything, right? When Jesus rose from the grave, he defeated the world, the Satan's stronghold. It's now every knee could bow, every tongue will confess before God. If they believe that he is Lord, then that he destroyed all of the strongholds. And now in Jesus' name, we are completely free for that. So he destroyed them. He took back the nations. He took back the world. And so who's the only person that we know? Who could this only be talking about? Jesus. We know no other point in the Bible. But if you read this in context and you understand exactly what Jesus did, he did that. So now back to our story, Melchizedek. So if he's saying he's in the likeness of Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek is the God of peace and the God of righteousness, and here's the other thing is, they don't know where his birth came from. Well, Jesus was birthed through a virgin birth, right? Well, Melchizedek, we don't know. It's mysterious. There's like, what's going on? And so there's...
Well, and Genesis is like a book of genealogy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing
on Melchizedek. So that's why I'm saying let's put a common sense cap on here and let's just try to, you know, reasonable. But all right, let's go on.
All right. Hebrews 6:20 says, Jesus has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The term order would ordinarily indicate a succession of priests holding that office. None are ever mentioned, however. In the long interval from Melchizedek to Christ, an anomaly that can be solved by assuming that Melchizedek and Christ are really the same person. Thus, the order is eternally vested in him and him alone.
Yeah, so Hebrews 7:3 says that Melchizedek was without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days, end of life. Resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. The question is whether the author of Hebrews means this actually or figuratively. Okay, if the description in Hebrew is literal, then it's indeed difficult to see how it could be properly applied to anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. No mere earthly king remains a priest forever, and no mere human is without father or mother. If Genesis 14, which we already covered, describes a theophany, then God the Son came to give Abraham his blessing, appearing as king of righteousness. Revelations 19 talks about that, the king of peace, Isaiah 9:6. And the mediator between God and man. We know that because 1 Timothy 2:5, that God is the mediator. So we are able to now come to the throne room of Christ because we are now priests ourselves. We're going to get into this a little bit more. And the description of Melchizedek is figurative, then the details of having no genealogy, no beginning or ending, and a ceaseless ministry are simply statements accentuating the mysterious nature of the person who met Abraham. In this case, the silence in the Genesis account concerning these details is purposeful and better serves the link of Melchizedek with Christ. Let's do this real quick. Let's just give it context and read the Hebrew account and try to get it. So a major theme of the book of Hebrews is the contrast between the earthly or the Levitical priesthood and the eternal priesthood of Melchizedek, which is fulfilled. So let's read Hebrews 7, 1-10 to start. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah.
All right.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, and to Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are also descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In one case, tithes are received by a mortal man, but in the other case, by one of whom is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him.
Okay, so let's just stop for there, and then we're going to read 11 through 28 after that. But this, again, let's just give context here, okay? So what's going on? Melchizedek, once he is like the perfect example of what a high priest looks like, okay? Jesus is the perfect. Jesus was a high priest, and what Hebrews is saying is that he was in the line of Melchizedek. And so the Levites were like, well, how could you be a high priest? You're from the tribe of Judah, Jesus. How is that possible?
Well, because the priests always came from they're always Levites.
They're always Levites. Right. Okay. So there people are like, well, why, you know, I can't understand this. Why did God put this here? Why did this, all this? Well, it's because it was a foreshadowing of things to come. He wanted to prepare people for what it is. And Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. He's the beginning. And so it starts right at the beginning. He's telling them, I have a plan. That plan is I'm going to save all people. And you gave me offering to Melchizedek, but I'm going to come again, Jesus, and I'm going to be the great high priest. And by believing in me and surrender to me, you are now able to usher into the throne room of God. Remember what the Levites did? The Levites were priests. The priests were the only ones able to communicate with God. The most high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. Well, remember when Jesus rose from the grave, that the veil at the top of the thing broke from top to bottom? God tore that. And he says, that is now obsolete. And you said it best. In AD 70, Rome came in and completely demolished the temple. God was no longer there. The Bible says that Jesus now lives within us. He breathed the Holy Spirit in us. That's I no longer live, but Christ that lives within me, that Paul said, right? So now we become a priest ourselves, as it says in Hebrews 5:6, is that we are now priests in the priest like Jesus, but we only are priests because of Jesus. Mm. Jesus was the complete fulfillment of the high priest. Right. And then now the Bible says, and Paul says, that we can now come boldly into the throne room of God. Well, we can't come boldly in the throne room of God if the veil is still there. We still have to go through the sacrifices. We still have to spill blood for our sins. We still have to do all of that. But Jesus did all of that. And now Hebrews is saying that he was in the line of Melchizedek as our high priest, that he goes before us, and that when we pray and we say in Jesus' name, what we're saying is it's only by Jesus' name could I have access into the throne room. And now the Bible says I can now speak boldly to him. And so is Melchizedek in this whole story and understanding this a big deal? This is huge. This is huge to understand the context of what's happening. So way back when, God was setting it up. And now here the Israelites are, I mean, the Jewish, the apostles are like, oh, well, we get it now. We see how Jesus is that. And that Jesus fulfilled that. And that's what Hebrews is talking about. But let's go back now to Hebrews 7:11-28. So persecuted Christians are encouraged not to apostatize to Judaism because the founding fathers of Christ's priesthood, Melchizedek, is superior to the Old Testament priesthood of Levi. So here Paul, I believe Paul is a writer of Hebrews. You guys can argue me all you want, but that's how I see it. Here he's basically saying in Hebrews 7:11-28 is that, okay, you have your priesthood, which is through Leviticus, but Jesus is higher than that. Jesus fulfilled all of that. Jesus is the final. So let's read 11-28 and kind of break that down a little bit.
Okay. Verse 11. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there be for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is a witness of him. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were made many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Wow. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself up. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever.
Now, a lot of people, when they read Hebrews 7, are like, what is this talking about? We're giving context to this right now. And so Jesus lives forever. He's God. He surrendered. He did everything that the high priest said. He lives forever, where the priests on earth die. All the priests on earth are sinners. Jesus is perfect. He's the great high priest. And he's basically saying to us that in Jesus, we become high priest. Peter said that we're royal priesthood. We're perfect saints. So it's God no longer sees us as us. God sees us through Jesus as our go-between, our propitiation. And now we are holy in priesthood. And so now we have direct communion with God. We now are able to do that. It's because of Melchizedek setting the stage. It's the foreshadow. And so when people read that, a lot of times they're confused. What is this all about, Melchizedek? And what does this mean? Well, we're telling you it's a big deal. We're telling you is because Jesus was setting the stage way back when. He's telling them, I'm establishing a nation, but through this line, Melchizedek, I'm going to bring the Messiah. The Messiah is going to be the same thing. He's going to defeat all of the world. He's going to be the high priest. Every nation is going to have to bow unto him. Every nation is going to have to confess that he is Lord, or deny him and have death in hell or eternal life. And if they accept him, they are now given the same rights as Melchizedek. They are now given the priesthood rights to be able to operate as the kingdom of God, as a power of God, to do the things of God on mankind. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. It's completely different. That happens because of Melchizedek setting the stage. Big deal.
So you're saying Melchizedek and Jesus are the same person?
I believe so. I mean, it's a case is made either way, but I believe that's where it is. I mean, it's how else do we see it in the context of Psalm 110, David's prophecy of Melchizedek, of Paul's explanation of Jesus and the as Melchizedek and the in order of and showing the similarities? I don't know how else to see it. I mean, it's it, you know, when we get into our Genesis 18 show next week, we're going to even cover that even more. You know, it's Abraham's coming face to face again with Yahweh in person. So yeah, we're going to talk about that next week for sure. All right.
Let's break down further. What exactly is the Melchizedek priesthood?
All right. So in biblical Christianity, the Melchizedek priesthood is an office that applies only to Christ. Okay. So this, let me just clear this up. Melchizedek is introduced in Genesis 4:18 and is described as the king of Salem. So 14:18, right. And because he's priest of God. So Abraham, later Abraham, or Abraham, offers Melchizedek a tithe and is blessed. The name Melchizedek is a combination of the Hebrew words king and righteousness, making Melchizedek a righteous kingly priest. So it's David was a priest, we know, a prophet and a king. Okay, so he was all three, and that we say that the Messiah's line is going to come through David. The Melchizedek, we don't know where he's come from, but we know that he is a righteous king and a king of peace. We know that based off of, you know, we don't know where he came from. We don't know anything else. We just know that Abraham humbled himself. Abraham bowed his heart, and Abraham gave him the tithe. He was basically saying, I don't want this money. I just want to glorify God. That's what Abraham was saying at that moment. So that's what we know. All right.
So we know that in Matthew 22, Jesus debates the Pharisees. In verse 44, Jesus cites Psalm 110, verse 1, stating that the Messiah is David's Lord in that verse. Melchizedek is mentioned in the same psalm. We read this earlier. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. We are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So the Messiah, David's Lord, was given Melchizedek's priesthood.
Yes, and many people don't know that. Okay, so Psalms 1-2 is basically saying that David had that authority that no one else. So David was different than other kings. Other kings couldn't do that. Saul couldn't do that. Remember that? What is the bleeding that I'm hearing? Why did you do this? But David had that. Remember, David went into the showbread into the sanctuary. So David had that. But again, what we can conclude is Melchizedek is therefore a type of Christ, if not the Christ, a Christophany. And the man Melchizedek that appeared to Abraham was actually a Christophany and an earthly revelation of Jesus himself. So Jesus basically said, anytime that Jesus in the Bible mentions something in the Old Testament, we want to listen to it. Okay, he's given context to something. So if he's bringing out Psalms 110, he's saying that's a prophecy about me. That's a big one. So listen to it. And so now if we read that, which we already did, and we read Genesis 14, and now we read Hebrews 7 and Hebrews 5, it kind of gives us now a big picture that, you know, Jesus basically saying, that's me. It's who I am. I'm in the order of Melchizedek. All right.
So much of the chapters, go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and 7. It gives an explanation of why of who Jesus Melchizedek priesthood is superior, or why it's superior to that of Aaron's. Hebrews 7, verses 23 and 24 implies that Jesus holds his priestly office eternally, using a Greek word that suggests something that cannot be passed down or changed. Hebrews 7, 26 calls this priest exalted and sinless. For all of these reasons, Christ alone can fulfill the office of Melchizedek's priesthood.
Yeah, so we have, so cannot be passed down. So Jesus is not saying, hey, I'm going to be able to give my high priest to the next priest. It's holy.
There is no next priest.
There's nothing there. Jesus is the fulfillment. And the reason why we're even saying that is because the Mormons teach that, that when Jesus, that it wasn't complete, that it was picked back up with Joseph Smith. And that he is now in the line of Melchizedek. But what we're seeing in context here is that, no, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Melchizedek. The line is stopped there. It cannot be passed on. So why would the Mormons say that Joseph Smith is picking back that up and that their priests are in the line of Melchizedek? It doesn't make any sense. And so it's kind of hard. So, I mean, Hebrews 6:20 says, for all these reasons, Christ alone can fulfill the office of Melchizedek priesthood. There's no other person that can fulfill it. So that So we would say to that Mormon doctrine, that is false. And you know, a lot of times people say, well, aren't Mormons the Christians and so forth? Well, if you start studying the doctrine, their doctrine and what they believe, then there's going to be a lot of contradictions there. And so what I believe is that it's a different Jesus. I believe that they have a different identity of who Jesus is. It's different. So this is one of those major points, is that they use Melchizedek, and they say that Joseph Smith picks it up, and that he is then the fulfillment of that line, and that their priest comes through that. Now, we might get some, you know, people feedback or share with us. We would love to hear discussion. But that's pretty much the show. We don't have to keep beating it up. Any thoughts back from that? I know we went through it kind of quick, but I think we gave a pretty good context, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just go back to kind of the last point we just hit on, and Hebrews makes it very clear that there is no passing on, that he is the final priest. And I mean, which this has really opened my eyes, because like I said, I had never heard anybody preach on Melchizedek, and it's just been fascinating. And there's other Christophanies in the Old Testament where we see, or we believe, where, you know, like I think of the fiery furnace, you know, the Daniel in the lion's den. And there's different places where Jesus seems to show up before Jesus is born, right?
Yeah.
To me, and I think, like you said, next week we're going to dive even more into Abraham's story, and we're going to see even more of that here. Abraham's talking to
somebody,
to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And it seems to be God in the flesh.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody got the big picture with this. Melchizedek is a big deal. He is the high priest that came out of nowhere. He's not a part of the Levites, so he's different. He's unique. Jesus was not a part of the Levites, but he's our high priest in Judah, and that because he's in the line of Melchizedek, and we believe that Melchizedek was Jesus, and that here is Jesus fulfilling all of the Melchizedek priesthood, we now are able to surrender our lives to Jesus, and we're able to put our trust and our hope in Jesus. And with that, we are then now granted access into the throne room to be able to talk with Yahweh himself.
Man.
We cannot talk with Yahweh without Jesus. And so anybody that's listening today and you have not given your life to Jesus, now is the time. The Bible made it very clear. Jesus paid the price for us. He bled and died for our sins. And on the third day he rose from the grave, and the Bible says that he's God. I mean, he's the one that created everything. He's the one that set the standards. And he said that you had to live a holy life. And if you did not live a holy life, that means you're living a sinful life. And if you're a sinner, that means you need to repent of your sins. And you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You have to acknowledge that you have fallen short from God's standards. If you can't do that, then you cannot be saved. You cannot come. You can't enter the throne room of God. You're separated from God, the Bible says. But if you can acknowledge that you're a sinner, you can acknowledge that you have fallen short of the perfection that God sets. I mean, if you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've cheated, if you've, you know, even if you thought about it, the Bible says it's a sin. If you've done any of these things, you're a sinner and you're in need of a savior. And if you're listening to this and you're in need of a savior, you can give your life to Jesus right now. The Bible is very clear. It says, just humble yourself, come to the throne room, broken and contrite, and just say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for living my life apart from you. I choose today to walk in your ways. I choose today to believe in your son. I believe that Jesus is God. And I believe that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day from my sins. And I confess that I am a sinner and I am turned from that. And I choose today to do my best to walk in the newness of my life in you. And the Bible says that if you did that, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. It really is a heart condition. It's not like some big grand thing. It's like God is just saying, hey, come unto me, be broken before me. And if you listen to this show and the Spirit of God was moving in you and you're now broken, the Bible says that you are now, when at the end of the day, it says every knee will bow, every tongue confess. It says at the very end, he will ask you what you did with your son. And you're going to say, I accepted him into my heart as my Lord and personal savior. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. And that is what we're looking for. That this world will pass away. The Bible says the world will pass away and all things will be new. One day we will be in fellowship with God for all eternity. And if you've given your life to the Lord, we have so much more to look forward to. And if you've done that, we would love to hear from you. Bob, how could they get a hold of us today?
Great question, Pete. I would recommend go to our website, theriotpodcast.com. You could have lots of resources there, and there's just a contact us page. You can reach out to us and let us know. You can also go to any of our social media sites. You could go to Facebook, you could go to X, you can go to YouTube, and just comment there. Comment on the show. If you're watching this on YouTube, just scroll down to the comments and ask your questions right there. We would love to hear from you, and love to just start that conversation with you as well. But Pete, thanks. This was an awesome show.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners did as well.
God bless you.
Have an amazing week, guys.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.